Good morning. Thank you for coming, and may our learning, the schus of the Torah of our learning, the schus of the learning of this Torah, be a merit for Refua Shalema, for Margalit Elisha Bat Rut Naami, who needs Refua Shalema. B'soch Sh'ar Chol Yisrael. Okay, we are on the middle of Yud Tes Amid Beis. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Amar Belazar ben Parta. Belazar ben Parta taught me. Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash. Ever since the Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed, Naasu Gishamim Tzimukin LeOlam. The rain has become contracted from the world. In other words, when we had the Beis Hamikdash, there were a lot of blessings that came down, and those blessings expressed themselves in very plentiful rain. But now it's very inconsistent. You know, sometimes you have good rainfall, sometimes you don't have good rainfall. We are in a very, very vulnerable state, and we are reminded of our vulnerabilities. Yesh anashak shamei merubin. There are years when there's a lot of rain. Yesh anashak shamei muatin. Then there's a year when its rain is very limited. Yesh anashak shamei yardim bizmana. There's a year when the rain of that year comes down when it should. V'yeshana, then there's a year, she'ing shamea yardin bizmanon, the rain doesn't come down when we need it, when we plant it, when we need the rain to come to make things grow. Shana shek shamea yardin bizmanon lema'u domet, a year when you have the rain coming down when it should, early on you have rain, etc. What's it like? Le'evet shenasin l'rabba parnasaso ve'echad b'shabbos. It's like a slave who his master gives him plenty of livelihood on the first day of the week. So if he has all this money in his account, he has all this food in his cupboard, Nimtzeis isa nafes ketzikana. So then the bread that's being baked for Shabbos is going to be baked the way it should. V'ne'achelas ketzikana. It'll be eaten the way it should. Shana she'ing shamei yardin bizmanan. But when you have a year where you don't have the rain coming down at its time, l'mo domeh, what's such a year like? Le'evet shenasan l'rabu parnasaso be'erev Shabbos. It's like a master who's given to his servant livelihood on Friday. Only on Friday he gives him food. So now he has to start preparing, and Shabbos is coming. So him says, then by the time he turned this grain into flour, and then into dough, and then into bread, it's Shabbos already, so he's going to have to bake it when it's not fully finished. Then he's going to eat it in a way that it wasn't done right. Another big difference between having all the rain early and good, and having plentiful amounts early on, Yishana Shek Shamem Rubin, a year where you have a lot of rain, Lamo Doma, what's it like? Le'evet Shenasan Lo Rabu Parnasas Levas Achas. It's like a servant who his master gives him his livelihood all at once. He feels good about it. Nimtzu, so when you have all the livelihood all at once, Nimtzu Rechayim Tochnos Minakur Masha Tochnos Minakav. The Nimtzeis Iso Chelas Minakur Kamosho Chelas Minakav. We know that when you get livelihood, so Hashem doesn't give you bread, Hashem gives you rain. And the rain makes the wheat grow. And then you have to take the wheat and you have to grind the wheat into flour. Then you have to take the flour and mix it with water and make it into a dough. You need to bake the dough into a bread. So when you grind wheat in millstones, there's a certain amount of loss. The millstones are rocky and they're not smooth. There's a certain amount of flour that's going to be lost in the crevices, the cracks within the millstones. When you take flour, put it in with water inside of a big bowl, a certain amount of that dough is also going to be lost in the bowl. So if you have the rain in plentiful supply and it's early on, you have a lot of wheat. So when you grind the wheat, you're grinding all the wheat all at once. So yeah, there's a certain amount that's lost, but that's whatever it is, it's, let's say, a half a kav. Half a kav gets lost within all the cracks of the millstones. Then another, let's say, a third of a kav gets lost in the cracks of the bowl. So out of this large amount, because you had a large amount at the beginning, out of the core, you lost half a kav plus a third of a kav. But if Hashem sends the rain in bits and bits, so the produce ripens in bits and bits, so then when you have a little bit of food, you have to already turn that into flour and grind it. So you're going to lose half a kav from that little bit that you have. Then you have a little bit more, you again grind that. Again, you're going to lose half a kav. So you're going to be losing it all along the way, again and again. So, Shana Shek Shameh Muatzin Lama Udome. A year with limited rain. What's it like? Le'evet Shenasan L'Rabba Panasaso Ma'at Ma'at. It's like a slave who his master gives him his livelihood only little by little. He gives him a little bit, and then he gives him a little bit more.
So nimtzu rechayim asher tochus min akur tochus min akav. So now, the same amount that the millstones grind away from the kur, they're going to grind away from the kav. And nimtzei sisa, it comes out that the bowl, kama sheneachelos min akur, how much of the dough is taken out of the kur into the bowl, ocheles min akav, is now going to be taken out of the kav into the bowl. So it's a big blessing to have rain in plentiful amount and to have it early on. That's a big blessing. And unfortunately, after we've lost the Beis HaMikdash, we don't get that blessing as much as we used to when we had the Beis HaMikdash. Another explanation. When you have a lot of rain, what's the year like? It's like a person who's mixing his mud. If he has a lot of water, so then he can do a good job. He's not going to run out of water. And the mud is going to be mixed well into a nice paste, into a good concrete. But if it's a year of limited rain, then mayim kalim, a guy goes out to try to mix mud, he's going to run out of the water. The mud's not going to mix well. And the same is true. If there's limited rain, so then the earth is not going to be well watered, and if the earth is not well watered, chas v'shalom, then you're going to end up with lots of just plain dirt, and things aren't going to be able to grow because you don't have the moisture in the earth to enable growth. Okay, now famous story. This is the story of Nakdimon ben Gurion. Nakdimon ben Gurion was one of the three extremely wealthy individuals at the time that we lost the Second Temple. The Gemara in Gittin, in Perek HaZorek, tells us that when Jerusalem was put under siege by Vespasian and then by Titus, there was tremendous supplies in Jerusalem. They had enough food, they had enough firewood for 20 years. They had enough food, they had enough drink, and enough firewood for 20 years. And the source of this supply was three extremely wealthy people: Nakdimon ben Gurion, ben Tzitzis HaKeses, and ben Kalba Savua. Right, they said about ben Tzitzis HaKeses, he would walk, and they would put, you know, carpets underneath him, and he would leave the carpets for the poor, because his tzitzis would drag on the floor. He didn't want the tzitzis to go to the floor. They'd put carpets down underneath him. They say, Ben Kalba Savua, people would come into his house hungry as dogs and come out filled. And here we have the story of Nakdimon ben Gurion, the individual that the sun drilled through the clouds for his sake. Hashem kept the sun up for his sake. And even so, even though these people were charitable, they didn't give as much as they could have given. They were very wealthy. They should have been giving even more. And unfortunately, we did lose Yerushalayim, as we know, the Bir Yonim, the ruffians, the young extremists. They burned all these tremendous stores of provisions because they wanted the Jews to be more desperate and to fight with greater desperation for the sake of Jewish honor. And unfortunately, we did lose the Beis HaMikdash. So there is a story about Nakdimon Gurion. This is the end of the Second Temple era. The Romans are the rulers in the land of Israel. The Romans were the rulers in Israel ever since the days of Pompey. The Romans are the rulers in the land of Israel, but they left the Beis HaMikdash going for a good 100 years or so until the Jews revolted against the Romans. And when the Jews revolted, eventually the Romans came. They sent the legionnaires from Rome and they destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. This is before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. There are Romans living in Israel. There are Jews living in Israel. The Romans are in charge. One time, the entire Jewish nation went up to Yerushalayim to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Let's assume it was Sukkos. You have thousands, millions, you have millions of pilgrims. There wasn't enough water for them to drink. Nakdimon ben Gurion went to one of these prominent Romans. He said to him, Halveni shtemesrei mayonos mayim. Lend to me 12 springs of water. You have 12 springs of water. Lend them to me. I'm going to take out the water. I'm going to use the water for all the Jewish pilgrims who've come up to Yerushalayim. I'm going to give you back the 12 springs. In other words, God's going to send the rain. And the rain's going to fill the 12 springs. If I can't produce the water for you, I already know I'm going to give you 12 loaves of silver. They said a time. Maybe the time was Rosh Chodesh Kislev or something. Or Rosh Chodesh Davis. The time arrived. There still had been no rain. Shabbashachris, so the first thing in the morning, Shalach lo, this Roman sent him to Nakdimo, and Shagerli sent to me, Omaim, or either a tremendous amount of water, Omosh yesh li biyadcha, or the money that you owe to me. Shalach lo, so he sent back, Adayin yesh li zman, I have time, Kol yom kula shli, the whole day is mine. I have time, it's only in the morning. I know we've been waiting for several months, but it's still just the morning, it's still time. So, but Sarayim Shalach lo, again in the afternoon he sent to him, Shagerli sent me the water, Shagerli, Omaim, Omo, Sheesh li biyadcha, send me either the water or the money that you owe to me. Shalach lo, he sent back to Adayin yesh li shus biyom, I still have time. The mincha now ready, it's a late afternoon, Shalach lo, he sent him for the third time, Shagerli, send to me Nakdimon, Omaim, either the water, Omo, Sheesh li biyadcha, or the money that I have that you owe me. Shalach lo, he sent back to him, Adayin yesh li shus biyom, I still have time during the day. Ligleg alav oso adon. So this Roman started to mock him. He started laughing at him. Kol hashana, he said, Kol hashana kulo lo yerdu gshamim. The whole year there's been no rain. Ve'achshav yerdu gshamim. Now there's going to be rain. The whole year there's been no rain. That's it. I got the money. Nichnas beis hamerchatz b'simcha. So he went into the bathhouse very happy. I'm going to get a lot of money now. Ad shada nichnas b'simchas lebeis hamerchatz. While this master was happy in the bathhouse, Nachdimon nichnas lebeis hamikdash. Nachdimon walked into the Beis HaMikdash. Kishuatzit, he was sad. Nisatif, he wrapped himself up a bit feeling, he stood in prayer. Avodah Shabalev, the service of the heart. He said, I'm praying not for my own sake, but for the honor of God. I did this all for the pilgrims, that the Jews should have what to drink when they came up to fulfill the mitzvah of Aliyah Larego. Amar Levanav, he said before him, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Galuv Yadu Levanecha, it is revealed before, and it's known before you. I didn't do this for my own honor, I didn't do this that people should honor my father. I did it for your honor. So you Mayim, and Simla Oli Regalim, that here all these people are trying to do a mitzvah, they're coming up for Aliyah Larego, and there's no water for them. That your honor, they're trying to do a mitzvah, they should be able to do the mitzvah. So I did this, I put myself out there to get water for your honor. So please now show that it's all for your sake and send the water back. It's all for you. We're working for you. Miyad immediately, niskashu shamayim ba'avim. The heavens became dark with clouds. V'yardu gshamim, and the rain came down. Ach nismalu shtei mesra mayonos mayim, until these 12 springs of water were filled with water. Not only were they filled to the level that they had been at when he had borrowed the water, but hosiru. Now they had more. And they started to overflow. Ach yatzal adumim beis hamerchatz. So while the master is exiting the bathhouse, happy, thinking that he's getting money, he sees it's dark and it's pouring rain. Nachum ben Gurion, Yosef Beis HaMikdash. Nachum ben Gurion is coming out of the Beis HaMikdash. Kishapagu Zebazah, when they met each other. Amar lo, so the master says, Tein li dmei mayim. I'm sorry, Amar lo, Nachum ben Gurion said to him, Tein li dmei mayim yoser sheyesh li biyadcha. Now give me the money for the extra waters. That's something that God gave to you. Now you owe me. I only have to give you back the water. I gave you back the water plus. So now you need to pay me for the water. Amarlo. So this Roman said, Yodeani, I know Shlohirish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Solamo Ela Bishvilcha. I know God didn't thunder up his world. He didn't, shake up his world only for your sake. I agree. There was no rain for a year. Now there's rain. After I put pressure on you, clearly this is God sending the rain because you did the mitzvah feeding all of God's loyal servants. But I still have a claim against you. I'm going to get my money from you. It was too late. The rain came from God, but it came too late. It came once the sun had already set. The rain came down in my own domain. Okay, it's my rain. So Nakdimon went back into the Beis HaMikdash. This Atif, he wrapped himself on a bit feeling, he stood in prayer. Varmar Lefanav, and he said before him, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Hoda Sheyesh Lecha Ahuvim Be'olamecha. Make it known, inform them that you have people who are beloved in your world, that you love us. And make it clear, and make it apparent, that you sent the rain for us, and not that it's the Romans' rain. Yad immediately nitpazru ha'avim, the clouds scattered. Zarcha Chama Ba'osasha, and the sun, Zarcha Chama, the sun shone. Ba'osasha Amaloa Adon, at that time this Roman matron said, Ilulo Nikdura Chama Hayelo Pitzchan Pialecha Sha'otzimim Chama Osai. Had the sun not drilled through the clouds, I would have had a claim to say that, oh, give me the money, give me the 13 loaves of silver. But now that the clouds have parted and the sun has come out, it is clearly day, and clearly God is giving you back the water. Hanu, we were taught in a braisa, lo nakdimon shmo. His name originally was not Nakdimon. Elo Buni shmo. His name was Buni. Lamrikra shmo Nakdimon. Why did he get the name Nakdimon? Because of this event. Shenikdira chama bavuro. The sun drilled through the clouds for his sake. There are three people that the sun drilled through the clouds, that the sun was held up for their sake. The sun didn't set when it should have set. It stayed up for their sake. One is Moshe Rabbeinu. The second was Yoshua Ben Nun. Right? The Shemesh V'Yareach Dom. Shemesh B'Givon Dom. V'Yareach B'Emek Ayalon. Where the sun stayed up and the moon didn't come out. And the third is this story, Nakdimon Ben Gurion. Okay, I understand Nakdimon Ben Gurion Gemara. That's a tradition. This tradition, the story, why it was called Nakdimon. Yoshua Nami, Yoshua also cried the chsiv. It's a pasuk that says so. Vayidom HaShemesh, the sun stopped. V'yareach amad, and the moon stood. Ela Moshe Minalim, but Moshe Rabbeinu, how do we know that the sun stopped for his sake? Amar Belazar, Belazar said, Asya Achel Achel. It's a gzera shava from the word Achel. It says with Yoshua's war, Achel Gadlecha. And it says with Moshe Rabbeinu's war, Achel Teis Pachtecha. So just like with Yoshua, the sun was staying up for him, so too with Moshe Rabbeinu, the sun was staying up for him. Sivachat says here with Moshe Rabbeinu, Achel Teis Pachtecha. I have begun placing your fear. Achel Gadlecha. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani said, Asya, it's a different Zera Shava, it's the same sources, war to war, but it's a different word. It's the word taste. Taste. I have begun to place your fear. The day when God handed over the Amorites. Rabbi Yochanan Amar asked me to go for the Kra. No, it's not based on the Zera Shava, it's the Pasuk itself. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I've placed the fear, Asher Yishmu Shim'acha, that the nations are going to hear your about you, the Ragzu, they're going to tremble, v'chalumi panecha, they're going to be, sittering because of your sake. Masai Ragzu v'chalumi panecha, when were they so afraid of you? B'shah sheniktu lamo chama l'moshe, when the nations see that Hashem is holding up the sun for Moshe Rabbeinu's sake, then they're all trembling and afraid of fighting the Jews. Okay, going back to the Mishnah said, if you have a city that didn't get rain, but the cities next to it got rain, the city that didn't get rain is going to go into crisis mode. Mis'aninu masrios. They're going to be fasting and calling out in prayer. Amar Rav Yudah, Amar Rav Yudah, same name of Rav, Ushtayim Leklala. Both of these are being cursed. The city that didn't get the rain is being cursed. Nothing's going to grow. And the city that does get the rain, when the other city didn't get the rain, is also being cursed because it's getting too much rain. As it gets its rain plus the rain of the other city. When it gets too much rain, it's going to flood the crops. All right, talking about different verses with interpretations of Rav Yehuda Marav. The verse says in Eicha, Haisa Yushalayim Lenida Beineim. Yushalayim became a Nida amongst them. We know that a woman, when she has her period, she's a Nida. She separates from her husband. Am Rav Yehuda Marav, if you interpreted this verse in the name of Rav, Livracha. This verse is actually saying a blessing. The verse is saying, Haisa Yushalayim, Yushalayim was Kinida, like a Nida. Just like a nida, it's a prohibition that's only temporary. Once she has her clean days and she goes to the mikvah, she becomes permitted to her husband. Af Yerushalayim, so to Yerushalayim, yesh la takana, it's being destroyed, but it will be rebuilt. It will ultimately be restored. Haisa kalmana, another verse. The verse says Yerushalayim was like a widow, but not that Yerushalayim is a widow. Yerushalayim is like a widow. What do you mean like a widow? Sometimes a woman is like a widow. Her husband's not around, but she's not a widow. He's going to come back. That's the same thing with Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not an actual widow. God hasn't left us eternally. He's left us for a moment. We've gone out into exile, but we're going to come back. This is a blessing. She's like a widow, but not actually a widow. It's like a woman whose husband has left her to go to some foreign country. But he's still planning to come back to her. The verse says, another positive interpretation. And I've also placed you nivzim Ushvalim, I've made you amongst the nations disgraced, right? We say in the beginning of Kinos, Schiu Maos Hisimuni, right? Schiu Maos Hisimuni Krauni Ochrai, that they've made us, you know, disgusting, abominable. The nations say dirty Jew. The nations say Jew swine. The nations say, you know, Jews are different. Jews are ugly. Jews are terrible. That's actually a blessing. I'm Rav Yehuda Livrach. It's a blessing. They don't make us the tax collectors in charge of the tolls, and they don't appoint us as policemen because they don't like us. That's a big blessing. It's a big blessing that Jews don't get these cushy jobs, because the job of being a tax collector, you know, gives a lot of money to the tax collector, and it's not so difficult, but it's a hated job. Everybody hates the guy who's the tax collector. So because the government doesn't like us, because they say we're Jews, so they don't appoint us to these positions, but thank God. As it is, the people don't like us. Imagine if we would also be the tax collectors, how much more so they wouldn't like us. This is a bracha that Hashem has created anti-Semitism to keep the Jews from getting into situations that would increase animosity against the Jewish people. The verse says, "V'hika Hashem es Yisrael." This is the prophet Achiah, Achiah Hashiloni, Achiah from Shiloh, talking to Yeravam ben Nevat. Achiah Hashiloni tells Yeravam ben Nevat, "V'hika Hashem es Yisrael." Hashem is going to hit Israel. Kasher yinod hakaneh. Like a reed gets shaken. So that's actually a blessing too. Yikah Hashem es Yisrael kasher yinod hakaneh b'mayim, like the reed shakes in the water. Am Rav Yehuda Merav Livracha. This is actually a blessing. The Jews are going to be hit, but they're being hit like a reed shakes. That's a blessing. Because a reed, even though it shakes, it doesn't get uprooted. After you do finish with the shaking, it continues with its growth. The Jewish people, we get beaten up, we get shaken up, but ultimately we keep growing. That's a blessing. So Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonasan, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, explain the name of Rabbi Yonasan. What's the meaning of the verse? Ne'amanim pitzei ohev. Loyal are the wounds from the one who loves. V'ne'etaros nashiko sone. But let them be overturned, the kisses of the one who hates us. Tova klal ashiki lachia b'kaneh. Greater is the curse. Better is the curse, Shekil Achia, Shilonius Yisrael. Better is the curse that Achia cursed Israel with, Yosem Yibracha, better than the blessing, Shabir Chan Bilam Arasha, that the Bilam, the wicked one, blessed us with. Achia Shiloni, Kilam Bekane. Achia Shiloni cursed the Jews with a reed. Amalani Yisrael, he tells the Jews, Vihika Hashem Yisrael, Kashar Yonar Akane Bamai. Hashem's going to hit the Israel the way a reed will shake in waters. Now, Akane Zeom Bimkomo, Bimakomai. First of all, a reed, the Jews being compared to being a reed. It's a good thing. A reed, where does it grow? It grows in a swamp. There's a lot of water there. The gizel machl, if you cut down the reed, it grows back. Again, it's a great thing. The Jews, you cut them down, they keep growing back. Ush rasha merubman has a lot of roots. Even if all the winds of the world come and blow against the reed, they can't move from its spot. And he goes and moves with them. When the wind stops, the reed goes back to its spot. Avobilam arasha, but Bilam, the wicked one, Birchan the Erez. He hates us, and he was forced to bless us, but his blessing was really a curse. What's his blessing? Shneamar says, Karazim, like cedars. He said, the Jews are like cedars. So, my Erez, cedars, not in a place of water. If you cut down the cedar, it doesn't grow back again. The trunk doesn't regrow. The ancient Russian movement doesn't have a lot of roots. And I feel called Ruchas Rabba Olam Noshvas Bo, Ein Maziz Osun in Koma. And even if the winds blow at it, it's not going to move. And yet when the southern wind comes, it uproots it and turns it over. Not only that, the reed, it's great to be a reed. We're compared to that which is used for Kedusha. The reed merits, and out of it comes the pen, Sefer Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim, to use it to write, Sefer Torah, Nevi'im, Uksuvim. By the way, the Yemenites, they still write with a reed. They don't use the turkey feather. They use a reed, because that's what the Gemara says. You should use the reed, because the Jewish people are compared to a reed. A person should always be soft like a reed. In other words, get along with people, be nice. Don't be a tough guy like a cedar. It's not good. There was a story once that Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, came from Migdal Gdor. Who's from Migdal Gdor, he came from his Rebbe's home. He was riding a donkey, Matilos Fasanar, and he was, you know, sort of walking on the banks of a river. And he was very, very happy. And his mind made him arrogant. Why? Because he had been very successful with his Rebbe. He learned a lot of Torah. He mastered it. He knew it. So he was very arrogant. Look at how much Torah I learned. Look at how much I know. So he allowed the arrogance to get to his head. He met a person who was very, very ugly. Amarlo, this ugly person sees a rabbi riding on a donkey. And he says to him, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Oh, good morning, Rebbe, right? Shalom, peace to you, Rebbe. Hello, Yisrael. Rebbe Elazar is so arrogant. He's a lowly guy. I'm going to talk to him. I'm a big Talmud Chacham. So actually, he said a nasty thing. Amarlo, he said, Reka, you empty being. Kam mechor osra ish. You're so ugly. Shema kol b'nei yirchem u'charen kamoscha. Maybe the other people in your city are also this ugly. You're an ugly guy. Talking to me. Amarlo. So this man now gave him rebuke. He said, any other, I don't know, maybe the other people are also ugly. But el aleich v'amar l'uman sha'asani. Why don't you go to the craftsman who made me and complain and say, kam mechor kli zeh sha'asita. Why'd you make such a, how ugly is this vessel you made? In other words, God made me this way. You're talking about my looks? God made me this way. Well, go complain to God. So then Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon realized he made a terrible mistake. Once he realized that he had committed this terrible sin by offending this man, by being like an arrogant cedar and not being a soft reed, he got off of his donkey and he prostrated himself before this man. And he said to him, I said against you things that I should never have said. Please, Macholi, forgive me. The man said, "Any mochel lecha, I don't forgive you. Until you go to the craftsman who made me, then Marlon, you tell him, kam mochor, please ask shasisa, how ugly is this utensil that you made?" Rabbi Elazar was walking after him. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was walking behind this man and begging him, "Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me." Until he got to the city of that person. The people of the city came out lacrosso towards Rabbi Elazar. They were telling him, Shalom Alecha Rebbe, Rebbe, Mori, Mori, peace to you. Our teacher, our guide. Amalehem, he said to them, this ugly guy said, let me ask him, call him Rebbe, Rebbe. Who are you calling? Teacher. The guy walking behind you, he looks like a very distinguished rabbi. Amalehem, he said to him, Zeh Rebbe, if this guy, if he's a teacher, Al Yirbu Kamosu B'Yisrael. There shouldn't be people like him. We don't want anybody to be his students. Amalehem, he said to him, why? He said, this is what he did to me. He called me an ugly person. He insulted all the people of this town, saying that they were all ugly. Amrulah said to him, okay, Afopik, and even so. Macholo, at this point, forgive him. Shadam gadol b'toru, he is a great person in Torah. Amrulah, he said to them, for your sake, I'll forgive him. But he has to be careful not to keep doing this. Yad nichnas of Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rishim walked into the base medrash and he taught, a person should always be soft like a reed, flexible and getting along with people. He shouldn't be harsh like a cedar. He shouldn't be tough like a cedar, arrogant over others. For this reason, this is why the reed merited that from it comes the pen. To write with it a Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzos, to remind us to be soft people, people who get along with others. All right, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, V'chenir sheyesh badever mapolas, a city that has plague, namely, that has 500 young, healthy people, and 3 out of them die over 3 days, suddenly. Or there's mapolas, there's walls falling down. So then, osa ir misanu masras, that city right away starts fasting and praying, with all the severity of the fast because of these crises, because of the plague, because of the epidemic, because of the walls falling down. Mapola Sha'amru, when they talk about walls falling down, it means brios. It means strong, healthy walls. V'lo ru'uos, not the walls of things that are shaky. And it's talking about chain ru'uos people. It's talking about walls that shouldn't be falling. And if the walls that shouldn't be falling are falling, we have a crisis. Right? V'lo ru'uos people. But if you have walls that should be falling and they fall, that's not a crisis. That's because we were negligent. If we were negligent, that we deserve for that to happen. We live in this world. We have to be responsible members of society and do the things that are necessary. You have a building, you have to keep preparing the foundations that it doesn't get weak and fall. I knew brios, I knew Shane and Ruyas people. Why is it repeated? What are the, you know, walls that are healthy, walls that don't deserve to fall? I knew Ruyas, what does it mean? Which ones are the walls that are shaky, and I knew Ruyas people? And then there's something else, walls that deserve to fall. The answer is like this, Tzricha. You can have a wall that's healthy, but again, it deserves to fall. Denaflu machmas kovayu, because it was built too high. Denaflu machmas kovasayu, it was built so high and it wasn't wide enough at the base, so over time it's going to fall. Inami the kamina guda denara. Again, you can have a very secure building, but it's built next to the water. So it's built on the banks of a river. The water is going to wear away at the building. Eventually, it's going to fall, even if it's secure. Right? As we saw, unfortunately, with Surfside. Kiahi ashita ra'ua. And then you have the other way. You can have walls that are shaky, but they're not going to fall. Like there was this shaky wall to have in Narda that was in the town of Narda. We'll have a chalaf Rav Shmuel Tutze. That was a shaky wall, so Rav and Shmuel wouldn't walk underneath it. Avogav the Kaima Ba'asr place our shnit, even though it had been standing there for 13 years. So you had a shaky wall, and for 13 years it didn't fall down. So again, a shaky wall, but it's not falling time after time. That's also, again, a wall that you don't expect to fall, but it's shaky. So since it's shaky, therefore, if it does fall, it's not a crisis to make you make a fast day. Now, this story here with this shaky wall in Harda, Yom Achad, one day, Yikla Ravada Barahava lost. Ravada Barahava came to that spot, and he was there, and Rav and Shmuel were there. Amalu Shmuel the Rav, Shmuel said to Rav, Nesimar, come, Master Rav, Nakif, let's go around this wall because we don't want to walk by the wall. We're worried it might fall, even though it stood for 13 years. Amalu said, no, let's rechle it. We don't have to do that today. We have Ravada Barahava with us. Nafish Schuse, he has many, many merits, and therefore, Balom Stefina, we're not worried that there's going to be a crisis of a wall falling. He is protecting us. A similar story with Ravada Barahava. Ravuna had wine in a home that was shaky. He wanted to get the wine out because he didn't want to lose the wine if the house would collapse. Ravada Barahava lost, and he brought Ravada Barahava into the building. How did he do that? He kept talking to him about Divrei Torah. I have this question about learning. I have that question about learning. And he kept the conversation going until he was able to take all the wine out. Basa did nothing. Now, after they all left, Nafl Beisa, the house collapsed. I argued with Ravada Barahava. So Ravada Barahava realized what was done here. He had this whole conversation. He kept it going, not because he wanted to learn from me, but more because he wanted me to be in a dangerous place so I would protect him. But he was upset. Why is he upset? Because he held like what Rabbi Yannai taught. Rabbi Yannai said, a person should not stand in a place that's dangerous. And say, I'm not afraid of the danger. They're going to do a miracle for me. They're going to do a miracle for me. Maybe they're not going to do a miracle for him. And if you want to say that they will do a miracle for him, but it comes at a cost, they take away from his merits. That because he had the miracle, he's going to lose some of his merits. Amar Rav Hanan said, Maikra, what's the pasuk that teaches us this? The pasuk that says, Yaakov Avinu said, Katonti, I became smaller. I get less, I have less merits now. Mikala chasadim, and we call it MS, because of all the acts of kindness and the truth that you did for me. So you see that when a person is in a moment of danger, like being with Lavan or with Esav, we lose some of our merits. My havi uvde, do we have Adar Barahava? What was this great, behavior of Ravada Barahava that they were so sure he would protect them? Like what was learned. Shalu Talmidav, Ravada Barahava. The students asked Ravada Barahava, Bameh, with what merits? Rachta Yam, did you merit to have such a long life? I'm going to let me explain. Yamai lohikpadati visoch besi. My whole life, I never showed anger in my home, certainly outside of my home. So even with his wife, even with his kids, never got upset. And I did not walk in front of someone who's greater than me. There was a greater person. I said, you go first. Third thing, v'lo hirharti b'mavos ha'metunafos. He didn't think thoughts of Torah in a street, in an alleyway that was dirty with excrement and bad smell. V'lo halachti arba amos b'lo Torah. And even so, I was always busy with Torah. It wasn't as if I was thinking about the stock market. I was in the alleyway thinking, I was thinking Torah because I wouldn't take four amos without thinking about Torah. So he's always thinking about Torah. And even though he's always thinking about Torah, well, you know, it's not as if he was busy with other things, right? It's not about the sports or about other things, right? He was always thinking about Torah. And even so, when he got to the places that were dirty and were smelly, he stopped. Uvelo tefillin. And he never walked 6 feet without wearing tefillin. Uvelo yashanti beveis ha-medrash. And I never slept in a beis medrash. Lo shinas keva, not a permanent sleep. Lo shinas arai, and not a little nap. I was never happy at the misfortune of my friend. And I never referred to my friend by his nickname. Amrila, some say, Chachinoso is the nickname that others give him. Amrila, some say, Bechanichaso, with the nickname that they gave to his family. You know, it's the insulting name that they gave to the family. So because of all these merits of Rav Ada Bar Ahava, Rav Ada Bar Ahava was protected. And that's why when Rav Huna had wine in this dangerous house, the house that's shaky, he wanted to get Rav Ada Bar Ahava in, because that he knew would protect him and protect the building and be able to get all of his wine out. Okay, Rav Hashem. We'll continue tomorrow.